Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, our first bilingual show here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And tonight, we are on that liminal space in between Christmas and New Year's. All part of the Yuletide celebrations, but boy, does it feel weird to have a week in between. And because we are between the worlds, I think our guest tonight is perfect. You know, it's perfect to have Chris Allen tonight. Chris Allen says on his biography, "I am a published author, pagan teacher, and alternative healer. I've studied alternative spirituality and healing for over 28 years. My goal is to help students reconnect with the three shamanic worlds in order to find magic and healing." He's also a fellow Chicagoan, a good friend of the Fellowship of the Phoenix, and has written all kinds of books, Upper World, Shamanism and Magic of the Celestial Realm, Underworld, Shamanism, Myth, and Magic, Deeper into the Underworld, Death, Ancestors, and Magical Rites, and Otherworld, Ecstatic Witchcraft for the Spirits of the Land. I am also very proud and very honored to call on my friend, dear Chris Allen. Welcome to the show tonight. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am confused. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time we're living through. This is all just, I don't like the week between Christmas and New Year's. How
you
was
know,
your,
it's so strange.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking the exact same thing, because it's like I'm not sure if I'm coming or going, and it's dark at 4 o'clock, and it's cold, and oh my God, what's going on at this time?
Right. Yep. It is a weird time to be around in between Christmas and New Year's for those who celebrate Christmas. And you know what? For those who celebrate whatever, because it's the Yuletide season. That's what it is. It's winter holidays. There is no one way to celebrate. And I always say this, and I know you heard me say this before, Chris, we don't live in a pagan vacuum, you know, we don't live in a pagan island. So, you know, as much as we want to keep it as pagan as possible, which we all know is so pagan anyway, but you know, it's like, it is impossible to stay away from Christmas and the Christmas symbology and, you know, celebrations. And we all have family to celebrate Christmas. So, you know, but enough about Christmas and the liminal space. How you doing? How was your holiday or the first part of your holiday? Did you do anything special?
Well, it's strange because, you know, being a pagan, I celebrate the solstice on the 21st. And then my partner, Dan, he's, I wouldn't say he's Christian. I guess kind of Christian, sort of, but he celebrates this huge Italian Christmas thing, and it's a big deal, and it's like it begins on the 24th and the 25th and 26th, and then it's just like, oh my God, it's the return of the sun that never, ever, ever ends, ever. It's like Samhain. You know how Samhain is like, it goes on forever. It's like, okay, I'm ready for it to be over now. But it was fun. I mean, I got to see a huge Italian Christmas, and I actually I went with his mother, who's this like little old Italian lady. Dan and I took her to church, and it was funny because I'm hearing the sermon, and I'm thinking, I could do a better job at a sermon than he can. Because it was just so boring. I was just like, you're not even talking about anything. He was just like, yeah, it's Christmas and Jesus, and that was it. I'm like, okay, I didn't learn anything. I don't feel any different. Okay, it's all very boring, but whatever. That's why I'm pagan. At least in pagan celebrations, you transform, you change, you do something, you do healing and magic or something. It was boring.
Yes. I think part of what makes our practices, well, for us, it makes them good, of course, is that we focus on having fun and on being interactive.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I am very proud to inform that for a number of years now, I've given my stepdaughter candles for the solstice. And I call it, you know, happy solstice, because I want my grandson to know that there are other celebrations out there. And because I gift her a candle, she usually sends me a photo saying, thank you for the gift, happy solstice. But it's that interaction that happens, that, you know, I give her the candle. I'm not expecting her to tell me when she light it, but she does light it. And then she sends me a photo of it. And it's become a little thing that we do now. It's been a number of years.
That's
that,
cute.
You know, and I think I totally believe that Christians and pagans and everybody can have fun together.
Of course they can.
And part of that is that, you know, it's okay, they have a solemn celebration, and we can be good boys and girls and people and to the solemn celebration, and then after that we're like, yoo-hoo, time to do the pagan thing and frolic and feast and other F word celebrations. Anywho, I haven't seen you in so long. It's been like a week since we did something together.
I know.
Right?
It's been a whole 7 days, or not even.
Not even. So for folks who don't know, and they might live under a rock, because we are all over, we've taken Chicago by storm. tell us a little bit about what you've been doing, because I know you've been doing this because of the pandemic. And it kind of started, I think, started very casually, and now it's become a thing. And we go into soon, we're going to have season two, I guess. But tell us a little bit about Mystic Chat.
So the Mystic Chat, so that's our new video blog / podcast. It's essentially a live discussion group that we do every other Thursday at 7 p.m. Central. And it's recorded live, and everyone's free to join and things and ask us questions and things. And then I put it on YouTube, and I put the audio on podcasts and things like that. And every week or every 2 weeks, we have a different subject, and sometimes we have guest authors or guest speakers or guest teachers, and other times we just hang out and talk about paganism or magic or spirit or something. And I like it because the hosts are very different and diverse. So we have a gay man, a Latina. We have a white woman and a transgendered person. So, and each of us have different backgrounds and different experiences. So we have different points of view, but what I enjoy a lot is, even though we don't always agree on things, our what we do have in common is our dedication to evolve, to transform, to grow, and to heal. And I think that's a great. So, when did we start that? Was it April or May? I don't remember. I want to say April.
I think it was April.
Was it April
because
we started it?
Yeah. You started with Ruby Roos and Luke Babb probably the first week of April. And I joined in the second or third.
You weren't in our first show? In my head, you were in our first show.
No,
so
I joined after.
I thought you were.
No, you know what happened?
I have to go back and look at it.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. You guys did the first show, and because I follow you, I'm not stalking you, Chris Allen. I follow you on social media.
Okay, you can stalk me.
I saw the first show, and then I told you, oh, my God, this is so cool that you're doing. And you were gracious and generous to invite me. And then I think I joined either on the second or on the third. And then I took a couple of weeks off in May. Mm-hmm. So as the Latina on the panel, you know, the Mexican on the panel, what I like about the concept is how we all are learning from each other, you know. I think people who are listening, they might pick a thing or two from all the things that we have to say, but then it enriches all four of us, the four co-hosts, because we all are constantly learning from each other. And in a very, what I consider to be a very, I wouldn't even say competitive, but kind of like confrontation, not conversation. I mean, you know, it's a
conversation.
It's a dialogue. And and I think it's very enriching because we are learning from each other a lot. And then you can see it. You can see us live the day that happened, or you can find us on YouTube. And the YouTube channel is the Chris Allen channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, I was thinking about changing it, but everyone says, no, keep it at Chris Allen. I'm like, okay. It's there. And, you know, one of the reasons, I always wanted to do a show like that, but one of the reasons I said, okay, we're going to do it, it's going to happen, is because when COVID hit hard and everyone was in isolation and quarantine, everyone was just so disconnected from each other. And so I wanted to, and all these classes got canceled. I know I had to cancel like about five or six classes, and it sucked. And then people were losing their jobs. And so I said, okay, if we're going to do something, it needs to be educational and it needs to be free so that people can jump on and jump off and watch it whenever on YouTube. And just to give people something. And plus, every so often, I know the paying community has supported me with like buying books and attending classes and things like that. So it's kind of like my gift to the community because, you know, I mean, you're in the same boat I am. Part of my paycheck is I have to have clients. I have to have students. I have to have the yes and that. And, and to say thank you, I want to do something free for people because, you know, and I think you're in the same boat I am. I'm happy to help people financially. Like if you can't afford a class, I'll figure something out, or I will give it to you as a discount. And things like that. And it breaks my heart when someone says, oh, I wanted to take all these classes, but I lost my job. And I'm like, okay, well, join Mystic Chat because it's very educational and it's all free. You know,
exactly.
It's a gift. it's a gift to the community, you know.
Very important that you point out the fact that we, like you say, you and I are in the same boat, that we need our clients, we need our students, we need our, you know, people to get gigs and stuff. And with COVID, we have very limited resources. And then there are folks that at least I can work because I can do online reading, right? But there are folks
right.
that are hit way harder than you and I. And why not give back? I love the concept. I was first shy because I'm a radio person. I don't like to do my I don't like my mug on the screen.
Oh, you're
but
beautiful.
I guess,
what are you talking about?
Oh my God, honey, thank you so much.
One of my favorite pictures of you, and I haven't seen it in a long time, is when you have the blue in your hair. You haven't done the blue in a long time. A long time. I haven't seen it in a while.
I haven't because my hair burned out. There was so much product and so much bleaching and so much treating
so
it because, well, my hair is so black for those people who never seen me, let me tell you. My hair is
so don't you have to like bleach it first and then you have to color it? So
uh-huh.
You have a double thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it does a lot to your hair. And because I'm a perfectionist, I wanted it to be all the way down to the root and make sure it looks okay. And I was doing it probably once a month. And for people who do hair, you know how strenuous that is for your hair. And it eventually just started breaking. So I'm like, yeah, let me rest for a little bit because I was blessed with a very dark black hair. I have a lot of salt and pepper now, but that don't take color. The silver hair don't take the color. So otherwise I will dye all my white hair blue, but it just doesn't work. But anyway, enough about me because, you know, I can go on tangents about my ego. I love the concept of Mystic Chat. I love that we get to see each other, that people get to see us. You know, it's somewhat an interaction when you see the person talking behind the curtain, so to speak. And I love that you put it on Spotify and that it's on, is it on iTunes as well?
Yeah, it's on iTunes. There's this website that's called Podomatic, and it loads it up to everything. So Google Play. Hey, I heard that Google Play is about to like go away. True? I heard
really?
That.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't
because I was doing something with the podcast, and I got a message that says Google Play is going to be like taken off the air or changed or something. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. I know.
All these things.
But if you think about it, whoever listens to Google Play, I have never listened to Google Play, not once.
I used to.
See?
I used to use it to buy music. Because that's an easy way to buy music, because you could buy a song. And I don't have iTunes. I don't have Apple products. And I used to use Google Play, but now it's gone away. And you're correct. I remember that I bought a song and I didn't download it right away. And then now it's gone. I mean, it's not a big deal. I wish the artists will get more money for their music. Because I bought a song by Audrey Funk, and I paid my whole $1.99, and I didn't get the song because the platform went away. But anyway, speaking of things that are in between worlds, these books, Chris, that you have written, they are a thing of beauty. The whole collection is just fantastic. And I know we've done a number of shows here on Lunatic Mondays promoting the other books before. And this is actually the second show that we do speaking about this book, because we did something early on here But now they're now
the summer, right?
Yeah, and now the word is out. Other World is out there, and my dear friend, you hit number one in like 3 countries. What?
I did. I hit number one. It was Amazon's hot list of for Gaia and paganism in the U.S., the U.K. No, 4 countries: the U.S., the U.K., Canada, and Mexico. I was actually impressed about Mexico because, like, I'm one of those people. I don't think that English should, like, be in all countries. I'm not one of those people. I think that you need to honor the language of that country. And to see how it went number one in Mexico, like, I was honored because it was, like, all these Spanish books except mine. And so I was like, oh, I want to translate it, but I'm not sure that my publisher has that ability or they haven't paid anyone to do it, I guess I should say. But yeah, I was number one in 4 countries. I will say to hit one in the UK is very hard. It's extremely difficult. So I guess the British people are very particular about the books they buy, so I was very pleased it hit number one in the UK. So, yeah, I was very happy. I was very happy. And so far, it's been great reviews. I haven't heard anything bad so far.
By the way, owe you a review because I know I was supposed to do a review on Amazon and I just haven't done it. But the book,
yeah,
well,
Laura.
Let me give you. Yes, Laura. So let me give you let me give everybody the oral review. The book is freaking fantastic. You need to buy it and you need to read it and you need to learn from this wonderful man because not only he knows his thing, but you have a way of explaining things. And I will have to say this, and I'm not ashamed of saying it. I used to be ashamed of saying this, Chris. I'm not anymore. I'm like, whatever. I learn from hearing. That's why I do podcasts. That's why I do oral tradition, because I learn from hearing. It's really hard for me to learn something out of a book. Though I have a new little pastime that is buy the book and get it signed by the author, which is kind of an expensive pastime, but I love it because I get to have the book signed by my friends. Your books, I read. It's easy for me to read your book. And what I'm trying to say is the way you write is not that super dense, high magic. You have to be an expert on everything to read the book. Your books are really easy to digest. And because you take us from, this is a theory, this is how I do it, and here's an exercise.
Yep.
That's
exactly how I do it. That's exactly how I write.
I effing love that. And I'm saying the effing word because I effing love it. I love all the exercises that you put in there. And so tell me what does inspire other. Well, I know you're a generous man, but for those people that don't know you as well, what inspire you to, it is a big responsibility, but at the same time, it's a great gift to put all the practice exercises on the book. That is fantastic. How do you get inspired to do that?
How do I get inspired? So a few things. One of the things is that I'm one of those people, I am a visual learner, and I'm also a tactile learner. So I have to see it and I have to do it. And so, like, a lot of people, when they teach, I don't think, like, sometimes I think people don't explain things in a way that I can understand. So, whenever I'm writing a technique, I think, okay, if I didn't know how to do this, how would I understand how to do something? Because I can remember reading books a long time ago about like spells and conjurations and things. And halfway through the book, I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about because it didn't make any sense. Or they just assume you know something. And so that being said, I intentionally wrote the book for beginners, intermediate, and advanced practitioners. So, and that's hard because you have to assume this is brand new material. But for the advanced people, you need to be able to take them deep, deep and profound experience at the same time. Don't get so technical at the brand new people are left behind. So that's how I write. I burn into something. I'm going to take you on a little journey. And one of the things that I hear every so often is, oh, you introduced a technique or a concept, but then you don't give every single detail on how I should do it in the future. And I say, that's because I want you to learn from the spirit. So how I do everything is that I will teach you how to introduce yourself to the spirits, and then they become your teacher, you know, because I was always told that a good teacher, a good human teacher, takes you out to the forest, teaches you how to go into a trance, or teaches you how to raise the energy, or teaches you how to summon a god or goddess or ancestor or whoever, and then it's all up to you, and you can go very far. This is all I need to know. I'm okay now, you know, so I want everything to be up to the magician or the shaman or whoever. I want them to take the techniques and to be honest, I want them to add to it, because like I can give you a good foundation, a good starting point, but you have to do the work. You have to walk the like I can take you to the path, but the reader has to take the journey.
Exactly. And I love that about your books, and that's why I think that they are not so hard to work with. And as a person who likes to be hands-on and to learn and apply things immediately, I love that almost every chapter has, you know, one or two exercises. I also love I said I was going to ask you on this show the controversial question. You talk about fairies and spirits of the land and gnomes and trolls and stuff like that. And I never hide, Chris Allen. You know, I'm very like clear and as an open book. And I have always told people, I'm a complete believer that the gods and the goddesses exist and that they are up there on the sky, sitting on a cloud, looking at us, going, this we're humans. And then the next day I'm like, no, they're archetypes and we are just making them as we go. And it's part of our mind. And then something happened and I'm like, oh my God, they're so real. So I am an atheist and a pantheist and minimalistic scientist all wrapped in one. And I flip every 10 minutes. So the same thing happens with me with fairies and the spirits of the land, the spirits of the earth, that I'm like, yeah, no, this is a construct of our imagination. And then something happened and I'm like, oh my God, they're so real. So to people who are skeptic, logical thinkers, or that saying that fairies are just part of Walt Disney World, what would you say, how would you explain the existence of this energy?
Well, that's a big question. I would just say it's an experience. You know, it's kind of like, well, tell your story, and I'm not sure if I said this before or not. So I'm training some brand new witches, and I'm teaching them traditional witchcraft. And so I took them into a forest, and got a part of forest, and it was pitch black, and we started calling the spirits of the earth, and the spirits of trees, and the spirits of the land. We started to call the elves, fairies, and all those things. The energy was so thick and so tangible, you could almost feel the spirits breathing down your neck. Like, you look up, and it's like they were standing right next to you. And so one of my students was like, I'm not sure if I should, like, scream in joy or scream in terror. And I was like, That's witchcraft, because you don't know if you should be afraid or be so happy. But, I mean, it's one of those things to where I can talk about it, but it's about the experience. So if you, like in the book, I talk about how to work with elves and fairies and dragons and things like that. And so in order to do that, perform the techniques, practice the techniques, and then you'll have the experience, you know. And that's one thing about paganism and witchcraft. We don't just talk about it. We go out and do it. We experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like whenever I conjured the ancestors or Samhain. Samhain are, I had one of my students over here and his partner, and we were playing, we were basically having a seance, and my back door kept opening up and shutting. And he was just like, oh my God, the spirits are so strong in your house. And I'm like, yep. My house is open to all the spirits. But it was also Samhain, and the veil was thin and all that. But, you know, it's one of those things, I say, if you don't believe something, we'll go out into the dark and I'll show you.
Mm-hmm. And the majority of us will be chicken out and we'll be like, no, I believe it.
Oh my God.
I know. I know I would chicken out.
I actually had some friends who are also witches, and they're like, oh, do you ever work with the spirits of the dead and in the graveyard at, you know, after dark? I'm like, of course I do. So I decided that I was going to take some friends out into the cemetery after dark, and we're talking to the spirits and getting to know the spirits, things like that. And next thing you know, one of the guys was just like, hey, I see someone coming towards us. And I said, yeah, I see him too. And he goes, no, for real, I see a real person walking towards us. And he was getting scared. And I'm like, I see them too, but that's a spirit. He goes, that's not a spirit. That's an actual physical person. And I said, no. You're in a cemetery after midnight on a full moon. You only think it's a physical person. It's a spirit. And sure enough, bam, and it disappeared. He was like, oh, my God. He was like, oh, my God, it's real. Aren't you pagan? He goes, well, there's pagan, and then there's, oh, my God, it's real. So, it was funny. I was just like, everybody wants to be a witch until it's time to do witchy stuff. I keep saying that.
Yeah. It's people get so afraid and we get so scared. And going back a little bit, kind of like circling back to the beginning of our conversation where I was talking about we all live on a world that is colored by Christianity and Christian traditions. And,
I know.
Also fears, you know, if we are taught to be afraid.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Of that world.
Because, you know, I forget sometimes because even though I grew up in a Christian household and my family was very religious, like Jesus and all of it. But my mother had prophetic dreams. All of us saw the spirits. My mother, my aunt, or I should say my cousins on my mother's side are pagan. They've always been pagan. And my mother didn't even tell us until I think I was 35 years old until I found out that they were witches. And but you also have to remember, I'm not sure if it's the same in your community, but a lot of Christians basically do magic, but they think it comes from Jesus, and they'll say, "Oh, Jesus gave me a dream, or I told Jesus to make something happen, and something happened, or." I took a deck of playing cards and I asked for Jesus to help me, and I read their fortune. So there's this weird Christian pagan blend, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard me say this before, but I say it all the time, and I can say this joke because I'm Mexican. If you're not Mexican, you cannot say this joke. Mexico is the most pagan country in the world. Don't tell the Mexicans. They think they're Catholic. And that is the absolute truth because we do magic. People in Mexico do magic, a lot of magic, lots of folkloric magic. And it's all in the name of Jesus. And I'm like, why? And it's funny because me as a pagan witch and a witch for hire, people will be all happy until I start talking about the goddess. And no, it's Jesus. And I'm like, tomato. You know, you want to call it Jesus, I want to call it the goddess, and it's all good because the magic is going to work regardless. And I also know the other side of the coin. Some pagans that probably hear me right now, and they'll be like, oh my God, that woman is talking about Jesus and the goddess, that they're the same and they're not. And you know what? If they're not the same for you, that's fine. You know, to me, it's one energy. And again, I had just said earlier that I'm a atheist, polytheist, minimalistic scientist, you know, so
I do it all. Well, remember how I was saying I spent the holidays with my partner's Italian family?
Exactly.
I keep joking that they're all secretly a pagan because, for example, we went to the cemetery to see my partner's grandmother, you know, and then he does his Italian thing, and I haven't ever seen it before. He walks in a circle three times around the grave, and I said, well, what'd you do that for? And he goes, well, that way the spirit goes, we're walking with her. I'm like, well, that's witchcraft. That's what that is. And
exactly.
And they're like, exactly. And like, his mother has a statue of the Virgin, like a concrete statue, and it's huge, right in front of his house. And And like they say, they talk to her all the time. And I'm like, that's witchcraft. That's magic.
Mm-hmm.
And can I see the Virgin? I see her as the goddess, you know, the mother of God. So whenever I see her, I don't think, oh, Christian. I think, oh, that's the goddess in a different form, you know. So
exactly. Speaking of the goddess in a different form, I want to get all into healing the earth and doing work for the planet. And you do talk a lot about that in your book. But
Mother Earth, believe it or not,
my dear friend, it's 7:40. And I think it's time for us to take a little break. So we're going to go into a little break. We're going to come back talking about the Great Mother or planet, et cetera. So don't go anywhere, anybody. And we'll be right back with more here on Lunatic Monday.
Bless your blue green ocean, bless your red blue sky, your streams and your valleys, your mountains so high. Bless your gods and goddesses, Buddha, Sikh, and Jay. Jesus, Allah, Yahweh, we praise your many names. Speak a thousand languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, a new sky, all the people on it. We all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless your vibrant cities, bless your sacred ground, your hillsides and your forests. And bless your tiny town. Bless the winged ones that fly. Bless the horse and bear. Elephants, the dolphin, the cricket and the hare. We speak a thousand languages, we speak with the same tongue. Bless our planet, under one sky. All the people on it, we all laugh and we all cry. Of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. Bless our planet, a new one sky. All the people on it, we all laugh and we all cry. Oh, bless our planet, place of our birth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth. We are all one family, we are children of the earth.
You are listening to Lunatic Mondays, building bridges of community around the world. We'll continue with more. Don't go anywhere. And we're back here on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos. My name is Laura Gonzalez. And I want to invite you, I want to take a little pause from the interview, and I want to invite you to two very special shows that are happening in January. And I'm inviting you with time, so you can send me your email and your question, because we are doing a Tarot and Divination Night special on January 25th. My friend and colleague, Chris McBrien, Galena's medium psychic and shaman, and yours truly, Tarot by Laura Gonzalez, here in Chicago. And we're going to be doing Tarot Night and Divination on January 25th. And all you have to do is send one question on an email to either tarotbylaura@hotmail.com or to chrismcbrien@yahoo.com and send your question. And we're going to pick random questions. And for those who speak Spanish, We're going to do it in Spanish as well on the 30th of January for Paganos del Mundo with Claudia Algueta from Chile, Claudia Algueta Tarot Terapéutico, and yours truly will be doing tarot readings also on January 30th. And also, of course, to remind you to listen to Paganos del Mundo on Spanish and Portuguese every Saturday, to listen to Lunatic Mondays in English the second and fourth week of the month, to listen to Lunes Lunáticos, the first Monday of the month, and obviously to listen to Selena Fox's Nature Mystic and Nature Spirituality, both on either Sunday or Wednesday. And twice a month, we have Circle Talk with Deborah Rose, and also twice a month, we have Moon Magic with Janet Ewan. Circle Talk 2 Tuesdays a month and Moon Magic 2 Thursdays a month. So there are over 400 hours. Let me repeat. There are over 400 hours of free podcasts that you can listen, and you can listen to us. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And if you go to the CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast page, you can find the link to also circlesanctuary.org, where you can listen and download to every single one of these podcasts. With that said, I would like to welcome back my dear friend, Chris Olin. Chris, welcome back.
I'm back.
You're back. I love your book. I love your book. I love the fact that you dedicate a big chunk of it on working with Mother Earth, healing Mother Earth. And it is one of those things, like you say earlier, you know, everybody wants to be a witch until it's time to do witchy things.
Do witchy stuff, yeah.
Everybody is on an earth-based religion until it's time to take care of the earth. We forget that we are part of it, that we belong to her, and that she does not belong to us. Give us a little teaser about the things that we can find on the book about Mother Earth.
So I open up the book about the earth. In the very first chapter, I talk about the creation of the earth and the different like phases that the earth went through before she could sustain human life. And so we talk about that. And there's a whole section about performing healing ceremonies on the earth and connecting with the energies of the earth itself for healing, for magic, things like that. But then my favorite part of that chapter is I take you on a shamanic journey to go and actually talk to the goddess, to talk to Gaia, to talk to the great goddess who is Mother Earth. Because I think a lot of people think of Mother Earth as an archetype, as an idea, as a concept, but they don't get to know her, you know, because she is a literally living, breathing goddess. And a lot of people, you know, you can say, oh, the gods on Olympus, or the gods of the underworld, or the gods of love and the sun and all those things. But the earth is very tangible. We get our food from her. We get our shelter from her and all those things. And so, so she takes care of us. So I wanted to put a whole chapter about just getting to know her on a very personal level. And I also think that when you have a connection to the gods or the earth, on a personal level, you can't just ignore climate change. You have to protect the earth. I mean, you have to. It's like once they become a friend or your family, you have to protect them. And it isn't a thing that, oh, so-and-so says I'm supposed to protect the earth. No, it's a drive in you. It's a passion in you because you want, you love her. You fall in love with the goddess. So you can't help but to want her to be happy and to heal. So I'm very excited about the journey into Mother Earth and learning to actually get to know the goddess and things like that. Can I do teach you how to come up with your own ceremony for the Earth and Goddess? So, and that's only the first chapter.
And that's just the first chapter. And I love to talk about coherence, you know, on the pagan community. And we've seen this, and the first person I actually saw speaking so openly about this was Shauna R. Knight, formerly from Chicago. She's now in Wisconsin. But she was the one talking about, you know, like eco-paganism, and you cannot go to the woods and have a ritual for the earth and then throw all your styrofoam plates on
That's
the
right.
very ground that you just
That's right.
Pretend that you worship. I always like to mix, yes, my religion, my spiritual beliefs with my activism and with my politics, because
yes.
I'm not a politician,
yes. Yes.
So I can do that. You know, if I were a politician, then it's a different game. But as a healer and as a witch and as a priestess, I think we have to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk and try not to pollute and try not to harm the earth more than she's been harmed by those who don't give a hoot, you know? It's really important that we get our head in the game.
The beginning about paganism and witchcraft and shamanism is about doing something. It's about experiencing something. Like, one of the things, and I'm not trying to bash on Christians or anything like that, but when you go to church, you sit, you hear a sermon, and you go home, and that's all you do. Whereas in paganism, we have to do things. We have to do the magic. We have to have the follow-through. It's like in a spell. You know, if I'm going to cast a spell for a brand new job, I have to go and apply for a brand new job. And I have to update my resume. And I have to do all those things and apply for jobs and make phone calls. You have to have the action follow through. So if we're going to say, hey, I'm a pagan, I love the earth, then you have to have the follow through, and sometimes I'm on this bandwagon that sometimes we have to have these hard conversations with our family and friends about all types of things. And hard conversations can be, hey, you need to recycle, or hey, don't just throw blankety blank outside, you know. Because one of the things that makes me so sad is, you know, especially here in Chicago, I go to a park to do a full moon ceremony, and it's dirty, dirty, dirty with cans and food wrappers and styrofoam and this and that. And I've seen dirty diapers on the ground. Like, are you kidding me? And so I always tell all my students, if you go out in nature, bring a pair of gloves and a trash bag with you, because you need to clean up that area. And you don't have to do the whole park, but at least the area to where you're actually doing your ceremony. Partly is because no one wants to do a ceremony when there's trash around, for one. The
mm-hmm.
second thing is, when you are taking care of the earth is going to take care of you. So, I mean, think of COVID, for God's sake. you know, I hear people all the time saying, oh, hey, I need healing, or my friend needs healing, or so-and-so had a heart attack, can you send them healing? I'm happy to help. I'm that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help heal the world. However, if you're going to ask the spirits to help you, if you're going to ask the earth to help you, then in return, you need to heal the earth as well. And that means sometimes picking up an old tin can off the ground, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's the little things, you know, that make sense. And the little things that you can do, because I promised myself I was never going to be the preachy vegan. So I'm not preachy vegan, but I have to say, folks, what we eat affects the earth more than what we think. So
yeah.
Look it up on your own time. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But for some people that say, it's impossible for me to stop eating this way. Well, how about Meatless Monday? Can you do one day? Can you do Meatless Monday? Or, you know, bring your coffee cup to the coffee place where you buy your coffee if you are
a daily drinker
of coffee. I don't do the daily coffee thing, but if I did, I will be the one kind of person that travels with mug, you know, like there are little things that help and that we can all do. And you know,
oh,
again, not
absolutely.
To get all preachy or anything, but and also to start seeing the earth as a equal entity, you know, because, and this is a theory that will open a kind of worms for a whole another show. If the earth was not seen as female, the earth will not be used and abused and seen as second class. But that is a topic for a whole another show. And
you know,
I
think that's interesting. I think that's extremely interesting that you said that because, to be honest, me being pagan and in my home, how I grew up is very feminist. So it never occurred to me until you just said that it's because we consider the earth as a female, so she's considered a second-class citizen. That's something to think about, to be honest. I've never approached it like that because, just like I said, in how I grew up, we were feminists. That's how I grew up. So I think that's an interesting thing. That's interesting.
Yeah. Let's do that for Earth Day on Mystic Chat.
We should, that's in April, right?
My wheels are always turning, Chris Allen.
I know.
Turning.
Do you ever get tired? I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, Chris, just turn off your brain. Stop it.
Right?
Stop coming up with stuff to do.
I'm always coming up with ideas for shows. I was not gifted with the gift of writing because if I did, I will probably be like you with like 3 books out, you know, but my gift is on speaking. So
4.
come listen to the monkey talk. Speaking of monkey talk, me, the monkey talk. We're going to go over because it's already 8:00. So we are already going over and I'm going to chill and relax. Do you have time to pull a card for people for the end
I
of the year?
I do.
Okay, before
so are
we do
doing
that.
Are we doing it for 2020 or 2021?
I think we're going to do it for 2021. One card and
okay,
let people take whatever message. But before we get into that, can you please tell us where we can find all of your wonderful books, especially the newest one?
On Amazon, on Amazon.com. So my publisher is actually called John Hunt Publishing, but it's easier just to go to the website. And I keep telling people this, and I think this is a great idea. If you're on a budget, get a Kindle, get an Amazon Fire Kindle, because all the books are half off and they're like anywhere between $5 and $10. And my books are around $10 on Kindle. but everything's on Amazon. I don't have any books to send out because every so often I'll have people like, hey, can you sign a copy, and I'll just pay you. And right now, to be honest, with the mail and COVID, I haven't ordered any books. And part of it is that Chicago mail sucks right now. Like, it's really bad. So I don't trust their mail right now until they fix it. Not until Biden gets into office. After he gets in office, I'll trust it again. But but you can find everything on Amazon. Just put in Chris Allen, Chris Allaun, and I will pop up. And if you go on Amazon and you put in my first and last name and scroll down to the bottom, there's a little Easter egg there for you. And I'm not going to talk about that until January, but there's an Easter egg if you go on, look at it.
Uh-oh. All right.
You know what it is, Laura? You know what the Easter egg is, Laura?
I have no clue. No.
Okay, so after we hang up here, you have to go on Amazon, put in Chris Allaun, and then scroll down to the bottom, and then you'll see an Easter egg. And I'll talk about that in January. I know, right? Isn't that exciting?
Now I'm excited. I'm going right now. I'm doing it right now.
Okay, but don't say anything. I want people to go.
No.
You see it?
I'm not going to say anything, but I'm scrolling down, and I don't see the Easter egg. I might just not know what I'm looking for. I'm going to have to ask you later. Yeah,
it's
I'm going
to
have to ask you later.
There's something on Amazon that's there.
Ooh.
Under my name.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway,
let's draw cards.
Let's draw our cards. So I am using the Rider-Waite Smith, and I am going to shuffle three times. And I'm going to ask the goddess to let us see one card for people, for folks who are listening. With all my love and all my gratitude, this message is for you. May the divine goddess let us see what needs to be seen. And I have the Three of Coins reverse. The Three of Coins reverse. If you ever read, hear me reading, I don't believe in negative cards. I don't believe on negative messages. I think messages are what they need to be. With that said, the Three of Coins is a card that speaks of creativity, people coming together, making plans together, creating things together, and having long-term commitment. And for me, that is what this card is talking about, is actually the opposite, because we have the card reversed. And I think that the message that we have right now, and again, take what you will from this message. And whenever you listen to the message, it doesn't mean that this was December 28th and it only works for today. It works for whenever you hear it. And what it's saying is try not to make any long-term commitments. I don't think this is the right time to make long-term commitments. I don't think we are mentally, emotionally, physically, but also financially able to make long-term commitments. And that'll be my contribution. Chris, would you like to tell us what deck of either tarot or oracle you're using?
So the tarot I have is the Robin Wood deck. And the card I drew, the Magician. And how I'm interpreting this card is that now that we have Biden in office and we have a vaccine, and we had the Jupiter Saturn conjunction, so we have all the pieces in place, but each of us have to take our skills, our abilities, our intentions, our healing, our magic, and send it forth. So what I mean is, if you want to go back to school, make that happen. If you want a brand new job, then make that happen. If you want to be an author or teacher, then go make that happen. Like, it's 2021 isn't given to you as a gift. You have to make things happen for yourself, and you'll have good things. But you have to, just like I've been saying this whole time, you gotta have the follow through. You gotta have the experience and put things into motion. You can't wait for someone to give it to you. Create it yourself. Create your own happiness.
I love that.
I love that. That was cool.
Yeah. I would like to thank you. By the way, I had to hold back and not scream. I found the Easter egg.
I told you.
That is so awesome. I love it. I love it. I love you. I love the Easter egg. Folks, go to Amazon. Go to Chris Allen's page on Amazon. Order your Otherworld book and find the Easter egg. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else. Chris, it's been fantastic to have you on the show. I love you. You're a dear friend of mine. I really appreciate having you in my life. And I appreciate also having the last show of 2020 with you. And
last show.
That you were so gracious also to pull a tarot card for the audience. And with my love and gratitude, I will say goodbye tonight. And I will leave you the microphones so you can say goodnight and goodbye to your audience.
I just want to say thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for your emails and your instant messages. And I look forward to speaking with you all and hanging out with you all in 2021. So have a great holiday. Have a great new year. And let's put our healing intention forward to have a great 2021.
Indeed. Amen. Blessed be. And so much to be to that.
Blessed be.
Blessed be, everybody. Chris, thank you. Thank you to everybody who's listening.
Thank you.
And with that, we close 2020 for Lunatic Mondays. We see you on the 4th with... We're going to be talking about the three wise men, but we're going to talk about the three wise men in Spanish. So you have to come to listen to us in Spanish. And don't forget to send your questions to tarotbylaura@hotmail.com for the tarot reading night. But thank you for hanging the extra 10 minutes. And everybody, never forget that you are extra loved tonight. Good night. Goodbye.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming, connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.